call to order. Can you hear me okay? I'm sure they can hear that. I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Gover Beach City Council on Monday, July 6, 2015. Would you all please rise with us? Let's have a moment of reflection as we just celebrated Independence Day in this great country that we live in. Please remain standing. Councilmember Shaw, will you give some pledge?
Sure. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's going to be a warm one, right? It feels a little warm. Okay.
Nice change of pace.
All right. A roll call, please.
Here.
Thank you, Donna. And City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements?
Regarding number one, conference with labor negotiators pursuant to government code section 54957.6. Number two, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to government code section 54956.9D1, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. And item number three, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to government code section 54956.9D1, Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Marita. There were no reportable actions taken during that closed session by counsel.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, legal counsel. Okay. So at this point, we're going to review the agenda as presented by staff and see if the council wants to make any changes to the order of business. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? Okay.
Yeah. I'll make a motion that we move, that we approve the agenda as noted.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we will move forward with the agenda as presented by staff. I believe there are some extra agendas on the table to the rear of the room. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar. This is item number one. This is a proclamation declaring July as National Park and Recreation Month. And I don't know if Park and Rec Commissioner Director Pecker, did you want to make some comments on this item, or shall I just read the proclamation?
I do have a PowerPoint presentation after the proclamation.
Okay. So how long is that presentation going to be?
5 minutes at the most.
All right. It'd be good to tell the mayor these things ahead of time, but gotcha. Okay. So then let me read the proclamation. This is a proclamation of the City of Grover Beach designating July as National Park and Recreation Month. And it says, whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part of communities throughout this country, including Grover Beach, and whereas our parks and recreation programs are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of a community in a region. And whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease, increase a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of the local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, preventing flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, produce habitat for wildlife, ensure the ecological beauty of our community, and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and recreate outdoors. And whereas it is established through statewide public opinion research that 90% of California households visit a local park at least once a year, 2 in 3 households visit a park once a month, 50% of households participate in an organized recreation program, and most park use is with family and friends. Whereas the residents of Grover Beach, including children, youth, families, adults, seniors, businesses, community organizations, and visitors, benefit from parks, trails, open space, sports fields, courts, facilities, programs, classes, and special events provided by our Parks and Recreation Department. And whereas the City of Grover Beach urges all residents to recognize that parks and recreation programs enrich the lives of our residents and visitors and add value to our communities, homes, and neighborhoods, now therefore be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council hereby recognizes July as National Park and Recreation Month. Ms. Becker.
You can stand. Close our door.
Thank you, Mayor.
You prompt this. I'm sorry, just 1 second. It is pretty warm in here tonight.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. We're very honored and proud to be able to receive this proclamation on behalf of Parks and Recreation, and we have a brief PowerPoint presentation to share with you. These pictures are in no particular order. We just wanted to give you a collage of annual events that happen around our year here, and just to throw it out there, just to give everyone kind of a stroll down memory lane. Here's our Cal Poly Women's Basketball Clinic. We had lots of kids. Cal Poly's been doing this clinic for over 10, 12, 14 years, I think, now. So they're a great partner. This is our crafts class in the Ramona Center. Our Lego camp is coming up. We still have openings in Lego camp in a couple weeks if you want to sign your kid up. We also have the carved pumpkin contest and Halloween activities event. We have great volunteers help run it. Two of our commissioners right there. We also have our great concert series. This is pictures just from yesterday at the Sizzling Summer Concert Series. We had easily over 600 people, lots of dancers and vendors in the farmers market. We have our Dune Run. This is another event run by lots of volunteers right there on the left and then the runners on the right. We have our Symphony Petting Zoo. Kids, it's a free event. Kids can come in and try out the instruments by the San Luis Obispo Symphony. We also just had our spring garden tour, annual garden tour and plant exchange. This was one of the winners. We have our adult co-ed volleyball league for those sports enthusiasts out there. We do this every year as well. It's about our 14th year. And we have our very special 9/11 event for in memory of 9/11. So another popular annual event. We have our Arbor Day event here. This is an event we partnered with the San Luis Obispo County YMCA and Grover Beach Elementary School and State Parks and lots of other partners in that event. And our great holiday parade every year. Lots of kids and high school bands and everything on our holiday parade. I'm sorry, our holiday lights contest. And our ever-popular mother and son dinner dance. This was just recently in May, and just a great event, family bonding. And that's all. Thank you. And that's your Parks and Recreation staff, Alyssa, myself, and Nora.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, let's move to... hold on a second. I think I had someone that wanted to speak on this item. I believe there is Walt French, Catherine Flynn. Well, Walt, why don't you come up and tell me who's with you?
It's myself and Dale.
Okay.
City Council members, Honorable Mayor, City Administration, fellow citizens. I'm here to acknowledge the Parks and Recreation Department that you have and their staff for all the hard work and the things that they've been doing, which is, has really been joyful as a citizen of the city. I've been here since the mid-70s, and I can't remember a time when there wasn't so much of a community active environment now that we have in this city. And I just think it's wonderful. I think they're doing a great job. I would like to see this continue advance into whatever we think would improve the quality of our city. One thing that I was blessed with was my home was chosen for the garden tour here a few weeks ago, and I'm just a hobby gardener. And what was nice about the tour was there was a lot of folks that came around that were particularly fairly professional-like folks, you know. And you know, there was some folks that came from the Cal Poly Agricultural Extension and all these kind of folks, and they were coming into my yard. And I would, you know, ask them questions, and they'd tell me what they thought. And I was surprised that one guy came in and he said, you know, he said, this some of the things you're doing here are semi-brilliant, and some of it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so I kind of enjoyed that comment. So anyway, but I'll keep my comment short. It is a pleasure to be a citizen of this city. It is absolutely a pleasure to have a Parks and Recreation Department in this city. And I would like to thank them, and thank you. It's a reflection on the elected officials as well as city administration. Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay. So, and Dale, could you, what's your last name for us, please?
F-L-U-D.
Okay. You have the floor.
Thank you. First of all, I wrote these with my glasses on, these notes, and I forgot my glasses, so.
We can hold them up here if you need.
that's about far enough away. Anyway, I live at here on 8th Street, right behind Ramona Park, about 7 years now. And I'm a retired Kern County firefighter, and I also had 12 years on a local board, Chapter Recreation and Parks District, an elected position. I had that for three four-year terms. You know, as a fireman all over Kern County, I worked with a lot of good law enforcement agencies, and never once did I ever think that anybody came into our town to see us, to see the fire department, or to see the local law enforcement agency, no matter how good we were. But they would come in to participate and attend functions that were put on by a strong, well-funded Parks and Recreation District. That improves the lot and everybody's life in town. And here we have this wonderful staff. I've got to know. I volunteered a few times, not near enough, but I volunteer and I've met the staff that we have, and they're passionate for their profession. They're educated, and they run these programs as good as any recreation department I've ever been around for the size of their budget and the size of their staff. It's a almost all volunteer-ran department. In my hometown, our recreation district was ran by the city council, overseen by the city council when we first started. We had a budget of only like $20,000. Well, in 1978, we convinced the voters how important a recreation district was, and they understood. 1978, that was the year Prop 13, the voters rebelled against property taxes, and we got them to vote in a tax, a special district tax, the same year the Prop 13 was initiated. We got them to vote to tax themselves, so we have a special district. That's important.
Wow.
People there are educated to the fact how important a recreation district is to a city. You know, it improves everybody's lives in this city. The businesses benefit when you have locals using their services and they're buying their products more often. Then you also have out-of-town people that may not have ever been here before, and they get to see things like the Dune Run, which is I've done the logistics on those runs, and it's ridiculously hard. And they do an amazing job for the location, the dunes, and it's a very, very difficult thing to put on. They do a great job, and it's almost completely ran by volunteers, probably 70 volunteers, and then their limited staff. And then the 9/11 display, I don't know if you've all been there or not, but it's incredible. I think it should be seen by everybody every year, just to keep that in our mind. And then the summer concert series is unbelievable. I tell everybody, everybody that I know about that series. I think, I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but you should go. There had to be 1,500 people there this weekend. Just wow. Incredible. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to close it up here. If you have a chance, go to the Dune Run Run. Go to the on Stone Soup weekend. Try to get there a little early on Saturday morning and see this incredible work that all these volunteers and the staff do to put on this run. I think it's well worth your time. It's amazing to me.
Great.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dale. And was Catherine coming up? So, Don, are we okay having three on one slip, or would you prefer to have one per slip? Is this okay? All right.
Hi, I'm Catherine Phelan. I'm a local business person here in Grover Beach. I have recently started being an instructor teaching Tai Chi. The Parks and Recs Department has been more than helpful, 110, 120%. I really have appreciated them. I am also a sponsor for the weekend concert series, so I think that Parks and Recs, especially in our city, is doing a great job. And kudos to Kathy and Nora and Alicia.
Very good. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on this item? This is the ceremonial item number one. Oh, okay. So then what? Oh, okay. So why don't we do this? I will close off the ceremonial, and then let's go to our public communications. This is where any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total. Any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. So let me open this up, and Mr. Weisland, would you like to come forward?
John A. Weisland, Grover Beach. Before I start here, got some stuff to hand out that's important. But
yeah, do that for me, please. Thank you, sir.
Parks. 1950s, 60s, 70s. There's 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000. I think it was got up to 5 in 1969-70. There was a lot of land. We couldn't get a park. There was three of us guys trying to get land for these little league baseball players, but Grover Beach didn't want to give up any land. We used the school over here and the park to play baseball. Now today I saw a big shindig over here, red, white, and blue, little league. Well, three of us guys started out, but we got a guy from Pismo to talk to the city council and get it. Thank God the kids got a little league baseball park. We had one guy that was really good, parks. He went to Roy Grandy. He got their parks going. Second guy, he came along. He was good. City council, planning commission told him to go someplace else. Thank God for Kathy. She came along. She was able to break the ice. And we finally got some parks. School up here said that we could have that land. I don't know what year that was, I forgot. I was on Parks and Recs, that's why I know. And I got off, because this place didn't believe in kids and parks. And you should have been here then. But tonight, constructive criticism never hurt anybody. I got one of these. And this is the fifth one I've got. And I've said it 1,000 times. The wife and I are in our 80s, and we're not a normal family. We're not the average family. So this morning I had two plumbers come, but I want to find out. Because I called my attorney, because the boys in San Francisco are out of the country, and I told him when I got my water bill, you know, there's a problem here. And so I had the plumbers go through that this morning. Couldn't find a damn thing. So I said, put the gadgets in there so it doesn't leak. Well, I want new faucets then. So my attorney said to me, you know, John, I haven't had much time, but I did talk to them over there. And they said that you are not equal with last year. Well, last year was 11 cubic feet. This last one was 12. You got it on there. But you got this also. And you want to know about the water. When this all happened, you got the water meters and the gadget that couldn't read them. And then it says here, you know, you finally got somebody to pay them, Alexander's Contract Service, paid him $34,000 to read the meters. Now, I've had four meters in there. You know it as well as he does. One of the meters, it was a gadget that was reading. I had to go turn it to Larry twice, to the farm show, to ask those people there, what the hell is wrong with these meters? They say it's a meter. No. They bought it from France. Anything made in France now functions. And so, that's what happened. That's why people have problems. That's why the water situation. Now, I'm supposed to cut my water off so you can build two motels. Well, that don't make sense, because I'm a Korean vet. I didn't go there to shut my water off so you can build two motels. And you can go right down there to that.
John, don't direct your comments up to the council, please.
You can go to the third plant and turn that water off. I've said that for 10 years. I've also said gray water. That one. You know, the other thing.
John.
Well, by avocado trees. The damn things died because they didn't have any water. But man, we got the garden, we got the grass. Oh, parks. Well, I'm 82 and I don't make sense to me. Somebody explain that to me, please.
Ken Lehman.
You know, I'm Ken Lehman, Rose Court, Grover Beach. I can see why John is kind of upset, because we are getting taxed, and the gentleman's getting taxed, and we're going to get taxed more with these road issue that's coming up. It gets hard on people on a straight, flat income. So I can see where John is kind of upset. The roads, I noticed that my assessment for my property has gone up to 1.99% this year. How convenient. Because we're going to base that roads on that tax. Okay, we're going to have new roads in Grover Beach. Good. And I notice it's going to start out with $900,000 of this bond to start with the roads. And I did notice they're going to be on the streets. That's good. It's going to make our city look better. But over $100,000 is going to be on administration. And I came to the last meeting, and it's not about the roads right now. I came to the last meeting, and you had an expert about water. It is an issue. And I noticed John, myself, we're noticing that 20% of the water issue in California is residential. 80% is other issues. And I'm just concerned about how a state mandates me to cut water, and you too, all of us. And at the same time, I've been up here more than once with that same issue. The people from the valley, our tourists, I'm not just saying people from the valley, anybody that comes and visits us with the campers and go to the state park for $10, which was a mailing this weekend. Again, I took pictures. They still come in there and they fill up their tanks of water. And yet we're restricting me, John, and others with penalties, and we got a free tap. And if you notice the articles, Bakersfield, Fresno, they're in dire straits. I'd fill up two before I left the city. But the city over here, it's our well. I'm sure it's got to come from our well, from Lopez. I think there should be some kind of monitoring of that area. There is a gate, I've been told. Yeah, the gate closes at 9 o'clock. But at the same time, I've watched people, and I pass this around if you want, but they just fill it up. They just fill it up. And I think it's 55 to 60, 70 gallons. And I'm told to only use 70 gallons or less. It's minute. And I do have an avocado tree, too, and it's going to die. I take out my front yard. That's where I'm like this right now. I'm burning out my grass, putting rock in, trying to make it look nice. And in the past, I won awards here in this city for my best garden, because I do love gardening. And it's dead. And I have to make my roads better for these people to come and visit me. Now they're taking my water. They're taking water at tremendous amounts. It was lined up again this morning. I checked it out. And then what's really irritating, when you drive by, some of them are leaking it as fast as they're putting it in.
Mr. Lehman, can you?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Some of them they're leaking as fast as they're putting it in. This one guy was just leaking. I took a picture. He looked at me like, what? I didn't care. He's just leaking as fast as he's putting it in. So there is an issue. My taxes are going up, not only for the roads. I was wondering why we couldn't get them to somehow help us pay for this tax, because it's going to go for 20 years, my taxes. Everybody else here, too. And then Cuesta College, $248 million, but that's a county. There's only 13,500 people here in Grover Beach. That tax is going to be high for those roads. And I do hope it is made for the roads for the citizens of Grover Beach. The residential, not the hotel. And that concerns me, too. We have water issues, and there's no... building just keeps going. The convention, the center over here, water, water, water. I love this city. I've been a surfer, grew up here. Point Sal was my home. They closed it down. I can't even go to my temple anymore. And I just keep seeing this stuff. It's just like, I love the city because it was a sleepy town, but it's not a sleepy town anymore. It seems to me it's getting bigger and bigger, and I hate to see the waste of water.
Thank you, Mr.
you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lehman. Is there a way you can leave some photos with staff? Okay, thank you. Lawrence Schinderman to Ms. McMahon would be great.
You start anytime?
You can start.
Well, thank you, Mayor. You know me from my infinite emails to you. After hearing those issues there, I think this is a simple one. I'm here, part of the Mesa Refinery Watch Group, to ask you folks to step up and present a letter to the Planning Council, San Luis Obispo, to say no to the Phillips 66 project. Statewide, 17 cities and counties, in addition to 12 school districts along the Union Pacific Main Line, have written in opposition to the Phillips 66 oil-by-rail project. In addition to the LUCMR Teachers Association has voiced their opposition, as well as the California Teachers and Nurses Association. They have said no to dangerous and polluting Phillips 66 rail terminal project. Why have these communities and organizations said no? They don't want bomb trains rumbling through their communities and play oil by roulette with the health and safety of their residents. If this project is approved, mile-long bomb trains will be coming and going 5 times a week forever. It's going to be a 20 to 40 year project, just a stone's throw away from the schools, hospitals, and restaurants, parks and recreation areas, and businesses in downtown Grover Beach. Yet Grover Beach, clearly in the blast zone of a potential derailment and or explosion, has remained silent. Why? What is the upside for Grover Beach? A continuing reluctance to step up and say no to this project, as other communities have done, plays into the hands of Phillips by keeping the scope of this dangerous project from the community that you were sworn to serve and protect. Name one compelling reason to support this project that is a benefit to the community when weighed against the potential danger. This is an issue of crew by rail roulette, where the project benefits only one multinational company while putting companies along the main line at risk. What more do you folks need to know? Do you really believe that Phillips can wave a magic wand and make 5 Class 1 impacts that directly relate to toxic emissions and air pollution go away magically? They won't. As recently as last week, a tanker in Maryville, Tennessee, carrying hazardous chemicals derailed and exploded, spewing a toxic cloud that caused evacuation of 5,000 residents and the treatment of 10 emergency responders who were overcome by the fumes. Is this what you folks are waiting for? Some will say we are fear-mongering, that such a derailment won't happen. Well, do you want to make a bet on the reputation and brand your community has as a destination for tourism? Because should this project be approved, trains will be coming down the tracks 5 times a week forever, carrying volatile tar sands, increasing the risk of a fiery explosion. Visualize how a devastating derailment would damage the brand of Grover Beach and tarnish the business image of the community as a tourist destination. It's not about oil independence. It's about the health, safety, and welfare of the residents and the viability of the business community. It's simply not worth the risk. There is no upside to this dangerous project. We ask that you add your voice to the continuing opposition to this project to the slow planning commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schenderman. Stacy Avalar.
Hi, I have a couple of things for the council. I have a map of Grover Beach as it stands in the oil blast zone. I like a good visual. I think it's worth a lot. And I also would like to invite all of you to our rally on Saturday, the 11th of July at Mitchell Park. And we're going to be hearing from Mayor Jan Marks, because San Luis Obispo has already written their letter against this project. And Mayor Scholes, I'm sure if you'd like to address the people there, we'd love to hear from you too. Anyway, I'm going to give you the invites as well.
Thank you for those invitations. Absolutely.
So it's very nice to be here again. You know, we're continuing to try to raise awareness within our community. We've been going to lots of council meetings, advisory board meetings. We've been going around our neighborhoods and talking to people, and I've had and also farmers market. And I've had some great conversations with my neighbors. And everybody that I've spoken to loves living here. They love their community. They care deeply. They may not be politically engaged. They may not feel very confident in speaking. So I'm going to speak for them tonight. And that makes me sad. But, you know, with everything going on in the world, I'm sure I don't have to explain to you that people are disenchanted. But they do want to see our town prosper. They want to see wise growth. They want to see this funky little community retain its character. They want it to remain healthy. They want it to remain safe. They want it to remain clean, air and water. They don't want the oil train. I am not finding anybody except for one gentleman who works at the refinery that's told me that they are for this project. Your citizens are not pro Union 66 right now. They don't want this project because it's not bringing anything to the community, but it's asking us to take such a risk. And they don't feel that it's going to add to the overall goal of what your vision is. You have a vision to make this place, you know, more pedestrian friendly, have less cars racing down Grand Avenue, just going off to the beach, getting people to stop here to enjoy the businesses and the dining and the other activities, you know, and to kind of make put us on the map along with Pismo. And so I'd really like to see your leadership on this. I'd like to see you writing that letter. And I'm not sure why our local towns have been so hesitant when so many other communities have taken the lead and written letters to our planning commission. But maybe Grover Beach could be the leader. Don't let Pismo beat you on this. So, you know, we'd really like your support on this. It will mean a lot if your voices are added, because you represent 13,500 of us here. And I thank you for listening to us. And we're going to keep coming. I know this is coming up on your agenda soon, and you'll be able to make a stand. And I'm very anxious for that to happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Avalar.
A quick question, if I might.
Okay.
It was basically just to ask what time on Saturday.
11:30.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Jeff. Charles Varney.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Charles Varney. I'm a resident and property owner in Oceano, and I'm here as part of the coalition against Phillips 66. I represent Surfrider Foundation on that coalition, and I'm here as other folks to invite you to our rally and march on Saturday, July 11th at 11:30 a.m. in Mitchell Park in San Luis Obispo, where we will hear Mayor Marks talk about why the city of San Luis Obispo and the city council is against the Phillips 66 project. I want to compliment you, because I think in the Oceano Community Services District, Pismo City Council, Grover Beach City Council race to see who's going to be the first ones to really, you know, make a decision about Phillips 66. You're in the lead, because you've heard from Phillips 66. You've heard from Mesa Refinery Watch. And I don't know, maybe it was a month ago when last time I was here, you said that the city manager said that you had had agendized this topic for the new for your next fiscal year, which this is your first meeting of. So I'm really optimistic that this is going to be coming forward for your discussion. 78% of your population lives within the blast zone of as determined by the Federal Department of Transportation as the response area in a oil train spill. I have been, and I have brought for you a little handout that we've been using as we canvass your community, our communities, with information about the Phillips 66 project on one side and the invitation to the rally on the other. And one of the things I have been struck with is that how many people have no clue about the oil trains and the Phillips 66 project? I mean, they don't know. And they're going like, wow, why don't I know? I mean, this is really a serious thing. And as, I mean, that can really significantly impact the health and safety of our community. So I really feel it's incumbent upon you as the elected representatives, and I believe your good intentions, and you're moving down this path. And I just want to, you know, anything I can do to grease those skids, and I want to give you the kudos for doing that, that you have an important obligation to make this more of a public issue so that people are informed. Today I canvassed the entire Pismo Beach outlets thing going around to the businesses and saying, hey, do you know that you live in a blast evacuation zone in case there's an oil train derailment down there on the railroad track below you? Not a one of the managers or workers there knew of the oil trains. So my little 45-second rap I give them, they were like, to the person, well, why would they let that happen? It seems like it's all risk and no gain for any of us. So thank you, and hope to see you at the rally in March this Saturday.
Thank you, Mr. Varney. Judy Parks.
Mr. Mayor and council members, Judy Parks from Grover Beach, and you all have the synopsis flyer. And the proposed Phillips 66 oil train terminal on the Napomo Mesa would bring 5-mile-long oil trains carrying millions of gallons of toxic explosive crude oil through our communities each week for the next 20 years, primarily for export to Asia. Over 95,000 people in San Luis Obispo County live within the 1-mile blast zone of an oil train, and dozens of schools, parks, restaurants, businesses, hospitals, and places of worship are also in the blast zone. The majority of us in Oceano and Grover live within these potential blast zones. Our concerns include increased risk of catastrophic oil train accidents, more diesel pollution and childhood asthma from toxic particulate matter, lower property values. Only Phillips wins. Residents and visitors become collateral damage. The U.S. Department of Transportation predicts 10 major derailments per year of oil trains. So help stop the oil trains in our communities. Sign the petition at protectslow.org. Share this moment, this important information with everyone you know. Put a stop oil train sign in your front yard to help educate your neighbors, and there are signs for our house and car windows that are also available. To get a sign, email stopoiltrains@gmail.com with your contact information. Contact your county supervisor and tell them to say no to the Phillips 66 oil train proposal. For Pismo and Grover, it's Adam Hill at 805-781-4336. For Oceano, it's Lynn Compton at 805-781-4337. There's a rally this Saturday, as it's already been mentioned, 11:30 at Mitchell Park in SLO. We're invited and encouraged to join nurses, teachers, and community leaders to emphatically say no to this proposal of toxic madness. Please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parks. Let's see. Thomas Webb.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. I have a prepared statement here I'd like to read to you. Is the Grover Beach City Council aware that the RTA administration is changing the routes so that the Ramona Gardens Center, which was upgraded by funds from Grover Beach, Aurora Grande, and Pismo Beach to be used as a transit center, will no longer be used as such by two of the routes? Many thousands of dollars were spent on this upgrade, only to be ignored by RTA at this time, to benefit only their Route 10s. Excuse me. Route 21 and Route 24 will no longer lay over at Ramona Gardens to receive transfers from other buses. They will stop and load and unload only at Ramona Gardens. Those two route layovers will be moved to the premium outlets for their layovers, that being 21 and 24. This presents a problem for ADA passengers who will now not have a convenient place to use the restroom facilities. They will have to make their way to the Welcome Center, which is much farther away, and my understanding is doesn't open until about 10 o'clock in the morning. We start our buses at 6:30. From the bus stop, then the current location, which has fantastic restrooms at Ramona Gardens, and thanks to your maintenance people, they do a great job at trying to keep them clean. This leaves only one bus route, that being 23, that will use the Ramona Gardens as a layover location, which is a safety issue, if nothing else. Additionally, the Grover Beach downtown core of businesses from 8th Street to 11th Street will have foot traffic cut down by at least 75%. Foot traffic converts to dollars spent for such items as food, services, banking, the post office, just to name a few of the businesses that will be suffering a decline in customer revenue. I don't think those business owners are going to like that too well. Currently, all three buses lay over at Ramona Gardens. And there is an old adage, there's safety in numbers. Plus, we have the eye on the pole up there, and that park is very nice now. Thank you very much for doing that, guys. If the other routes are late, oh well, those passengers missed the connection. I'm a taxpayer in Grover Beach, and I object to this change and think the city council members should be very concerned about this change as well. You are elected officials. How do you think the taxpayers who voted you in will feel about this change that does not enhance the SCT transit system but only downgrades it? I am requesting that the Grover Beach City Council put a stop to this change before it happens. If anybody has any questions, I'll try and answer them. Otherwise, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communications? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public communications. One thing I did want to mention on the Phillips 66, and I want to make sure that there's no one here in this room and no one watching on TV that is confused. This city has not taken a position of support for the trains. We are going through a process, and I think Mr. Varney talked about that, and we continue to gather information. So I just want to make sure that if anyone is out there telling you to the contrary, it is not true. And then I want to say, Mr. Webb, thank you very much. We will look into the changes on the routes.
Thank you. We really
appreciate that. Very good. Okay. Okay, we have no public hearings at this time. Let's move on to our consent agenda. And this is items on this are typically taken in a group. Do any members of the council want to pull any items on consent? And I know that we've got a long list of items on consent tonight. And I'm not going to read, I mean, how many do we have here? Looks like about 8 or 9?
10.
Upwards of that number. I will need to pull item number 9 because I will need to recuse myself.
Okay. So. Item number 9 is pulled.
I don't need to pull number 6, but I wanted to make a comment on number 6 that...
So.
Yeah, I don't.
Why don't we go? I actually had a note here too, so we'll just pull 6.
Okay.
Are there any other items?
I had some staff questions of item number 7. I don't know if we need to pull it. They were addressed, so I don't know if that can just be a comment or if we need if you want.
Yeah, if you want to make a comment on that, if you had asked questions and there was a response, feel free.
Okay.
Anything else?
That was all I had.
Okay. So why don't we listen to your comments on item 7, and then we all, as a group, will decide if we want to pull it from consent. Okay.
Thank you very much. This was the agreement between the cities of Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and then the Oceano Community Services District for fire dispatching service. And in the report, there was a determination or a statement about the revenue would be $100,000 plus or minus $168. And I just wanted to clarify that in my understanding, and I think this is what was relayed to me, is that there was already budgeted $57,432, I think it is, in the existing budget. And mm-hmm. So this would be additional funds that would come in. And Mr. Buckingham, remind me if I was incorrect, that the additional 42 is already in the existing budget, or would be an augmentation to our budget? Is that Chief Peters?
I'm being told that is correct.
Okay. So the 100,000 is already within the existing budget. Okay. And then my other question/comment was that the agreement that's in our package was not signed by Oceano, but I guess that's in the process of being done. And there was a small typographical error in that in that one that's being fixed.
Okay, very good. With those comments and answers, does anyone feel compelled to pull item 7 from consent?
No.
Okay, seeing none. So then at this point, do any members of the public want to address any item on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing no one come forward. So at this point, I'll accept a motion on items 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 10.
I move we accept those as... presented.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, let's just do a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Donna. What we typically do is if items are pulled from consent, we usually put them at the rear of the agenda. Is there anyone here to... Well, I guess this is consent. I don't know if anyone will be here to hear these. So we will move these to the let's move them to either after item number 12, not 13. Okay, very good. So then let's move to regular business. And this is item number 11, and I believe this is authorization to establish a job classification of associate engineer and affirming the salary range. I believe this is going to be interim director Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Over the past year, the engineering-related workload in Public Works Department has grown, and the council has approved an aggressive capital improvement program. Obviously, this is in part to the passage of the street bond as well as other grant-funded projects. The current engineering staff within the Public Works Department consists of two people, our Public Works Director and a engineering technician position. In addition, as you know, consultants such as John Hollenbeck have been retained to manage specific projects. Based on the analysis of the current workload, additional staff is warranted, in staff's opinion. Staff is recommending the council authorize adding the job classification of associate engineer and provide direction to begin recruitment immediately with the goal of filling the position on a provisional basis. It's anticipated that the associate engineer would be available to assist in carrying out a number of functions depending on the skills of the engineer that would ultimately be hired. These tasks include assisting with the implementation of the stormwater program, assisting with implementation of the street repair program, assisting in managing the updates to the sewer and water master plan that are on the council workload, assist or manage in the engineering portion of development review, which is partially done in-house and partially subbed out currently, and also assist with the management of field operations. So staff's recommending the authorization of the associate engineer rather than the retention of a consultant for the following reasons. The first is flexibility. The city would be able to assign a variety of functions to the associate engineer according to the experience of the engineer. Management will also be able to shift assignments as needed, meaning a person in-house is able to respond to council's priorities and changing their assignments and workload as needed. Whereas the retention of a consultant is typically limited to the one project that we hire that particular person for, and it generally requires the development of the specific scope of work that they will be retained to perform. Second item is just cost effectiveness. The total cost of the engineering associate is approximately $100,000, including salary and benefits. That works out to about $50 an hour, which is generally about half the rate of a consulting engineer. The employment of an associate engineer would provide more work hours to the city would just provide more hours than a consultant. And lastly, grant projects. Several of the city's capital improvement program projects are grant-funded, and depending on that funding source, they have restrictive requirements regarding retentions of consultants. An example is anything with CDBG dollars or any kind of federal dollars requires all sorts of federal overlays for everything from monitoring prevailing wage, hiring and other types of procedures. So these grant hiring procedures do take extra time and add cost to the project, and they would not be applicable to a in-house associate engineer position. I would note that that if the council does move forward with hiring an associate engineer, it would not preclude the city from hiring consultants on an as-needed basis, and no matter who may be retained by the city, there's still going to be those times where certain expertise is needed, and schedule as well might dictate that we go out and hire a consultant based on council direction. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the council adopt the several resolutions before you tonight that would allow staff to move forward with the recruitment and hiring of an associate engineering position. That concludes staff's report.
Thank you. Nice staff report. Any questions of staff? Miriam, you have any questions?
No.
Very good. Barbara, any questions?
The only question I have is in the Exhibit B, and it's also used in the staff report, we are using the word incumbent to refer to the prospective new associate engineer. And I think that's rather a gray term. Incumbent, in my dictionary, is an elected official or a duty that someone has to bear. And if this is going to set up the definition of who and what an associate engineer does for the city of Grover Beach, I think that needs to be clarified.
Okay. What page is that, Bob?
It's Exhibit B. It's in the little box on the top, twice in the distinguishing characteristics.
There it is. Okay. Okay. I think that's a really good comment. So we'll have some more discussion on that or some direction to staff. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
I had some questions, but mostly comments and opinions on this. So I think actually Bruce covered most of my questions, which was where staff is intending the funding to be from. So I think he did a good job of answering all my questions. But again, I do have opinions later.
Very good.
Or comments later, I should say.
Okay. And I do want to commend council members for giving questions to staff ahead of time when it is possible. I think that certainly helps with the clarification and the efficiency of the meeting. So I do have maybe one question, and it's on page one of the staff report, Bruce, where it talks about under discussion, and it talks about staff completed the analysis of the city's current workload and department needs with engineering positions, job titles, and compensation salaries from other cities and outside the county of San Luis Obispo, but it didn't say necessarily what those findings was. It was you reviewed them, therefore we're going to change it. So what was the conclusion or the findings of that analysis?
I'm going to answer this to the best of my abilities. I believe the conclusion was that in a comparison, the range that we came up with for this position is in line with other cities in and outside of the county.
Okay. So it was really more a range of the salary, not and structural organization?
Correct.
Okay. Very good. All right. So this is a business item, but I will open this up to the public. Is anyone there would like to address the item before the council tonight? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. So let's have some discussion. I think Council Member Nichols brought up the question regarding incumbents. Staff, have you had a chance to take a look at that and provide some clarification around that, or is there some additional a different term that we can use in this particular case?
I'm not familiar with the definition of incumbent in this case for this job flyer. I believe it was probably drafted after looking at other examples that are out there. This is by no means final, and it can be changed. And if the council comment is simply to find a better or more clear or concise word for incumbent, we can do that.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I just think the word applicant is about as clear as you can get.
Because I'm looking at this, and it appears, at least in this box, to be trying to make some disclaimer that this is not in favor of anyone currently in the position. And I'm just wondering, do we really need the last part of that in this in this description? And can we just put a period after class and then the rest of it get deleted?
And do the class and do not.
So we would eliminate and do not necessarily convey the qualifications of incumbents within the position.
Yeah.
Right. That seems like a reasonable solution to
Are
me.
We within our authority to do that, legal counsel? Okay. So do we have a consensus on that? So I guess we'll just leave that, and then when someone makes a motion, if you can refer to that as an amendment, that would be great. Jeff, why don't you go ahead and make your comments?
Sure. My comments have to do with the I'll go back to my mantra of scope, schedule, budget. I see the kind of the global idea of where this position is coming from, but I also don't see it as sustainable in the form that it's in. I mean, the discussion that we've been having has been around the need for forwarding grant projects and funding from, or projects with funding from outside sources, whether it be CDBG, the train station, in some respects the lodge and conference center, where there's funding sources beyond the general fund, where I think I'm reading this and philosophically seeing that this position would be funded from the general fund, the sewer fund, and the water fund, which in some of the actions were already taken tonight or potentially could take tonight are going to make our water fund very very close to needing some assistance. So, I mean, we're expending quite a bit of general fund, or excuse me, water fund funds this year as a result of the drought and so forth. But my thought is once the projects that we've kind of talked about with regards to our capital programs and our grant funded our projects are done, we don't have a sustainable funding source for this position. That's a concern for me. I mean, that may be a year away, that may be 3 years away. I'd really like to tie this position to a defined funding source so that we don't overreach our bounds and in that. If development improves as a result of the grant projects of the lodge coming in and so forth, that then we have a sustainable funding source for that, then I can support it in this fashion. I don't see that in what we have before us.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay. That's a good place to start.
Staff, would you like to respond to that?
I believe the intent of the city manager in bringing this to the council as part of the budget discussion and here tonight is that, yes, the current demand is certainly at a peak level and is likely to continue on for several more years, and then it may diminish. And I think that's why the goal really was that this be a provisional position. It's not necessarily going to be a guaranteed position in perpetuity. That could be 2 years, it could be 5 years that this position would actually exist. The other thing I think too is Councilmember Lee is talking about is kind of adjusting. Like right now we may have a lot of or more grant funded projects or just more on our plate. Depending on the person's expertise, if it was design review as an example, it might not start out that they're doing any design review because they're focused on the other council priorities, but as time goes on and those projects diminish, if that person has the ability to shift to development review, at least that has a reimbursable funding source as applicants pay for those services. So I don't think it is true that staff can give you any certainty that there is a prolonged, you know, non-general fund funding source for this project. It will greatly depend as well on the person's skills, because if they are well-versed in water or sewer design, then we're always going to have water and sewer CIP projects that can help assist in funding that base salary. On the other extreme, if this person had great street design experience, this person would have a guaranteed funding source for many years under the street bond. So a lot of this will have to do with ultimately the qualifications of the engineer.
Very good.
Can I, just as I was reading through the job description, I didn't have this specific line of questioning in mind, but so my question is, when a person applies, will they be aware of how provisional this job is, because people buy homes and depend on things? So how will we make it clear that your job may be 1 year, 2 year, 5 year?
I'm going to see if our administrative services director can give us an example of how we've hired provisional employees in the past.
Good evening, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. In the past, the city has hired provisionals. It's been rare when that has occurred. The position is for usually a specified period of time. So this one would be for this fiscal year with the potential to go on into future years. So it would be put out as provisional in that manner. And I also looked up a couple of other cities just for your information on incumbent. It is standard language generally in most job descriptions. I looked up Pismo Beach and I looked up Arroyo Grande, and they have the word incumbent in their job descriptions.
Okay.
I guess I would add to Councilmember Shaw in follow-up to what Gail is saying, is that if in the interview process this person just has all of the perfect skill set for the city, then the city manager might make it a lot longer period of time. So that flexibility may have everything to do, again, with the applicant or the applicant's experience.
Okay, thank you.
You have more?
I'm not sure how much, and I guess this becomes a philosophical discussion amongst us of whether we're comfortable proceeding forward with what we have in front of us, or as I would be more comfortable with, realizing that there may be amazing person out there that we haven't found yet. I'd like to see us tailor this more towards our projects with the funding sources that we have in front of us currently. We have a backlog of that type of project. But with regards to development review and the roads and so forth, we've done and put in place for the roads. We've got Mr. Hollenbeck and a series of consultants for development review. We've brought on, not sure of the title, but we've brought on an internal engineer, and we still do utilize some external contract services for development review, and we have a contractor to handle a number of our stormwater requirements. So it's kind of that balance of growing staff versus growing consultants, and I know I've been a critic sometimes of how quickly we address things, and here's a way to address it. I just want to make sure that we are addressing it in a fashion that is, as you said, make sure that the person who we do find doesn't sign up for a provisional position and then finish the position and realize it's like, wait a second, I've put my time and my energy into the city, and now we may go out as a provisional employee, but once that person comes on board without a very defined skill or defined set of goals and objectives, it's going to be hard for someone to say, oh yeah, I know I'm a provisional. I can my contract or my status can be changed at the end of the fiscal year. So.
Okay. So staff, before us tonight, there's really two parts to this, correct? I think is the first to establish the classification and compensation plan, and then the second is to authorize staff to proceed with the recruitment process of an associate engineer. I know it's not quite written that way, but...
I mean, I think there's multiple steps, but it's really all for one goal, and that is to immediately be able to go out and start the recruitment process for the position. In order to do that, you have to technically create the position, create the salary range, and so forth. But I would say that's really the bottom line intent, is that staff is looking for augmentation to the public works staff, engineering staff, and if the council elects this option, then we could move forward to that immediately.
Okay. So shall we try some motions on this? I hear you, Jeff, hear your point, and I'm just wondering, and I guess back in the old days, provisional employee was contract employee, and you would it would be a one-year contract or a two-year contract. So just clarification, you're saying for now it's for one fiscal year that the person will come into this role if we go down this path.
I think that's what the city manager had been initially talking about. I guess I would just add the emphasis that if this person had the skills that we could look down the road and say we have these projects for the next 3 or 4 years, he has that ability to prolong that period of time.
Okay.
So I guess along those lines, it would be dependent upon future funding sources, whether it be general fund or grant funds or some other level of funding.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I see what you're saying, Jeff, that I see why you want to tie it to a certain project or a certain fund, but then that kind of takes away the benefit of it being the employee, because the first reason was flexibility, that they could be moved around. And if we're going to tie it to a certain project or a certain fund, then I think we would just go with a contractor or mm-hmm. outside. So I don't know what the answer is, but
and yet from if I may,
you
so
may.
From that perspective, there's again that balance of the contractor versus the balance of the employee. Do one of the things that we've been talking about with the roads program is either a on-call group of consultants or a single consultant to do a series of designs. The realizing that a number of our projects are grant funded, my thought was have a person, whether it be a group of people or an individual person, who work on those grant projects because they already do have funding sources and we haven't been able to internally move them forward. And I guess that's where my desire was previously in my, and I probably didn't state that as well in prior meetings. But my thought, and I'll tell me if I reiterate myself or repeat myself too many times, was we haven't forwarded our capital projects that are already funded. I don't see this doing that unless we find that person who is that this is going out for lack of a better term, and I'm an engineer, any engineer. So it's not moving forward with the waterline improvement programs that we have $1.8 million for. It's not specifically moving forward with the train station, which we have X number of dollars for. It's not moving forward with Oak Park Boulevard specifically, which we have funding for. And that's where I think I was trying to go. And so this is the time for me to express that.
Gotcha. And I see City Engineer Ray is here. So, or Bruce, you have some...
Yeah, I just want to add something. I mean, right now the workload is the issue, and we need additional people to take on and move forward and implement with those CIP projects in particular. But most of these projects, with the exception of a CDBG water main, don't have money for project management. They have money in it for PS&E, planning, engineering, specifications. But and those things are where we do have money to hire consultants to do that design. But all of that project management, with the exception of a project or two, still fall within staff. And this augmentation is to try to create someone else in a staff level that can manage those projects. And, again, that management is the general fund cost of our public works director to implement those things. This second position is going to be also partially funded by the general fund to just spread that workload out a little bit further on staff.
So to clarify, so I think what I heard Bruce say was that the funding sources for like Oak Park and the train station, when we received those fundings, it didn't include monies for us to manage the projects. And so now there's external funding sources that we're effectively augmenting with city funds. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to let Greg respond.
And maybe that's a kind of another one of those global questions is there opportunities to get additional project management funds from those funding sources?
So, Mr. Ray.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Greg Ray, Public Works Director. So looking through all of the capital projects, you really have two capital projects in the CIP currently that are outside funding that would have funds available. And that would be the CDBG waterline project and the train station expansion project. Both of those projects have funds available through multiple phases. And I think I used the unfortunate term, kind of shot ourselves in the foot, when we were talking a while back at council here about, we were really successful in getting grant funds, and at the time we wanted to focus as much money as possible on construction, so we really focused on getting the construction totally funded to the extent possible with, for example, Oak Park. And assumed that the project management and general administration of the project would occur in-house. And that condition exists pretty much throughout the CIP. Your only other options really out there would be, you know, the Measure K-14 bond street project, possibly the lodge project, which will include internal funding sources. And then it'll be generally the remainder of the work is spread fairly evenly over the water enterprise fund, sewer enterprise fund, storm drain enterprise fund, and the general fund, as well as potentially some gas tax and other minor funding sources that make up the bulk of the work.
Can't hear.
My apologies. I can't tell how loud this is. At any rate, so
John, Speak louder.
Sorry, I will. So, to summarize, we don't have a significant number of outside funding sources that are related to the project management work for our capital improvement program.
Okay. So I'm just wondering, do you see the benefit of augmenting the staff to maybe take on some of that workload? Are you okay with in that direction?
I am. I am concerned about the funding sources. I guess the other element of that, though, and we did have a line item in the budget somewhere for effectively a management audit. And so I know this would delay things for X number of months before that came forward. Staff has come forward with a solution, and I'm doing my best not to poke holes in the solution because I think it's a good solution and it's one that needs to be done. I'm just concerned with our sustainability for funding.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking at the water fund again, looking at the sewer fund, looking at where this person is going to be utilized, and is that, are we going to forward the projects that are the goals and objectives of the council? I think that's the intent of staff. I don't know if it's beefy enough for me in here.
Okay. Any thoughts?
My thought is, at a prior meeting when we talked about moving everything along, we said, well, if you don't have the money and you don't have the staff, you have to tell us. So now I think they're telling us they don't have the staff. So I think, I'm not an engineer. I read this as, you know, very closely, and they have good reasons for what they need. So I'm apt to approve it because ultimately they're pushing our agenda of getting things done. And I am not in a position to really pull it apart. I think the fact for me that it is provisional, and I would hate to have to be the one to dismiss someone, but if we run out of money, that's there. So I think that's a good thing.
Barbara, any additional thoughts?
I basically agree wholeheartedly with what Miriam is saying. I think the addition to the staff now is a little more important than looking too far down the road.
Yeah. Well, I think having additional staff to help with our goals and the agenda is good. And I think, Jeff, you do raise a good point about this being sustainable. So I'm just wondering if staff is saying this is provisional, then this is something that we're going to have to take a look at before we start the next fiscal year. So in about a year, we would more than likely have to do an evaluation of this position, correct?
And again, I think it may just be that this provisional is 1 year to begin with and that the council will have to reevaluate at that time.
So, of course, there are other alternatives for the council to consider. I mean, so is there any consequence of not making a decision tonight and continuing this to a date certain, or do we split this up and say we're okay with creating the position and the range and then until the city manager gets back and we have further discussion about tying this position to a specific funding source? So those are all items we can discuss as alternatives.
I'm okay with that. Or we could, in the effort of expediency, move forward with just a statement in the position that it's subject to annual review for funding. I don't know if that's a...
I think you should make a motion. I think that's probably a good compromise, a good way to be clear and what, so anyone who's applying understands that.
Sounds good. So before I potentially move forward on that, were we all okay with incumbent or with regards to what Ms. Chapman's response was?
If there's no harm in us removing it, I don't, you know. Okay. I mean, I appreciate her doing the research, but if we're not comfortable with the way it's worded and if we want to make change, I think that's something someone should make a motion on, and we'll see where the majority falls on that.
Should we use one motion or two? I'll do one, and we'll see if our legal counsel wants me to split it up into two.
Let's see what legal counsel.
It's your choice. I mean, if you think that there'll be a bifurcated decision where you win one and lose one, then you want to make them two different motions. If you think it's pretty much uncontroversial, then you could do it on one. It's your choice.
With me about to make the motion, I'll start it as one. How's that?
Okay, I'll accept the motion. If there's a second, we'll go from there.
Okay. Then I will make a motion that we adopt the resolution amending the classification and compensation plan to authorize a full-time provisional associate engineer job classification contingent upon annual funding review. Adopt the resolution amending the number of job classifications authorized, including the removal of references to incumbents. And three, if I can get back to it, apologize. Adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution, and four, authorize staff to proceed with the recruitment process for an associate engineer with necessary language to provide direction to applicants of the provisionality of the position.
I second that motion.
I would say that on a scale, if I'm rating you like in the Olympics, you know, on the difficulty in that dive, that's a 10.
Yep.
So there's a motion, there's a second. I want to make sure, Donna, you got all, you have all that? Okay. If there any additional discussion on this motion? Okay, seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Wow. 7:52, we're doing pretty good. So let's move on to, I believe this is item number 12. This is authorization to enter into a consulting services agreement with Stantec for design services associated with the 2015-2 street repair and rehabilitation program. Public Works Director Ray and consultant Mr. John Hollenbach.
I'd just like to introduce who you've met before, but John Hollenbach, who's project manager on this, and he will be delivering the report tonight.
Very good. Mr. Hollenbach, you have the floor.
Good evening, council members. Is this on? Okay. So a template for design services, professional design services, was created, and then that template was developed specifically for the capital improvement program 295 phase 2, and that was advertised. I can't remember what day it went out, but the proposals were due on the 22nd of June, and a four-member review panel was assembled and met after individuals reviewed that and scored those individual proposals. We received six proposals from firms locally here. Three of them demanded a lot of debate during the review process, and at the conclusion of that, Stantec was identified as the number one firm. One major reason they were judged number one was they identified several staff members. They had a lot of bench strength to be able to accommodate the 9-week delivery schedule that we've asked them to accomplish. The scope of work requires that there be an alternatives analysis done quickly so that city engineer and myself can judge what sort of innovative solutions are available that can be cost savings to the city. And then at the conclusion of that, there's basically a two-phase delivery system on the design. The design has to be complete with plans, specifications, and a cost opinion, both the first time it's delivered and the final time it's delivered. Stantec proved in their proposal that they can accomplish that. A member of Stantec's staff, their project engineer, is actually here in the audience today, and they hand-delivered the wet signed contracts to me just before council took up action. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, John. Any questions? Barbara, any questions?
No.
Miriam?
No questions.
Okay. Jeff?
Just actually two quick questions. Thank you for that. And I did have an opportunity to review the contract before this evening. It looks like with the 9-week schedule, we anticipate being out to bid on or about the or approval to go out to bid on or about September 21st, that meeting. So that's a greatly ambitious time frame, which I'd love to hear.
I'm glad you approve.
Apologize for being so harsh the last time. My other question is, what is my sidewalk? I see it in the program or in here a couple times, and it looks intriguing, but I don't know what that is.
I'm on a learning curve for that as well. The project manager has told me it is a kind of a public domain piece of cloud software. Exactly how it works, I do not know. I understand I'll be able to modify it and tweak it. Eventually, I'll be given that power. But I would like to ask the project engineer from Stantec, if he knows the answer to that, to come forward. Do you know what my sidewalk is?
Short answer, no.
I
guess we're going to make him walk all the way up to you. Introduce yourself, please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, council. My name is Buddy Hain. I'm going to be the project engineer for the next 9 weeks of ambitious schedule. I also had the same question about the My Sidewalk thing. I started with a company called Penfield & Smith, and we were acquired by Stantec last year. And so we've gotten a lot more tools that has come along with the acquisition, the My Sidewalk being one of them. And my understanding of it is it's kind of a website that we can set up that members of the community can go on and check out, you know, how things are going and kind of keep track of the project, because they might not necessarily want to come to a city council meeting or be able to watch it, you know, on TV. So it's just kind of another Facebook, you know, social media way of being able to keep track of a project and see how things are working out.
Okay. That sounds interesting. Now, is there I may be reaching with my question here. It sounds like there's an opportunity to then use this almost as a public outreach for for lack of a better term, during construction and during future phases, to say construction will be in this area these weeks and this area those weeks, and so we can almost use that as our dashboard to let the community know where to move forward with that.
Yes, that's my understanding, and because that's going to be really important.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, buddy.
So, then one last question.
Yes.
So, with regards to, I know, and I think you've answered this in the past, but I just want to make sure. This is a single consultant for our first phase of programs. Is the approach or the thought to have an on-call series for the next round, or did you have a thought with regards to whether this works and we can keep moving forward or have the on-call? What's the thought there?
The original strategy was to develop a set of on-call consultants through the RFQ process, request for quotation process. Mm-hmm. That strategy would not be satisfactory for the speed by which this phase of the CIP needed to move forward. So instead, the template which I had prepared for the on-call strategy was made specific for this particular CIP endeavor. The goal is, during this phase of them designing it, is for me to develop a on-call RFQ and get that advertised so that we can create a qualified list of consultants that are available to just say, we now are ready to do this phase. Give us a proposal. We don't need all the qualification information.
I have another question that's outside of the realm of this, but that'll be better for Council Communications.
Okay. Actually, I was going to ask that question on the RFQ process. And so when would you be envisioning getting that out and advertise so that we can get those firms responding to that RFQ?
Great question. I haven't programmed that yet in my task of things to do.
Okay.
The speed of getting this out, getting the construction management on the street, which is on the street right now, getting the contract awarded for the other phase, the CIP 295-1. All those things have taken priority. I would say certainly within the next 6 months is my goal.
Okay. And, John, in selecting Stantec, you obviously said there were six firms that responded, so there's five others. And so I didn't know if you had you and the team had gone through the process and determined those to be qualified firms that would be obviously eligible to submit once an RFQ process is developed.
Yeah, certainly none of the submitters were disqualified in any way. They can certainly submit proposals on any of our future endeavors.
Okay, so we'll look for more on the RFQ process and hopefully in the very near future.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's any more questions. You're going to hold that for when we have discussion, or do you have another question?
I'll hold one my item for discussion, but I did have one other question.
Okay.
Notwithstanding the chewing I did in the last item.
They're all okay. Professionals. They're fine.
So, and city's going to be able to respond to plan check comments and turn around fast enough to meet the nine-week time frame?
Of course.
That's what I like to hear.
Okay. Let's see. I think those are all the questions we've got. Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to address this item before the council?
Where do you start? What street
first? Well, why don't you come up here, John?
That's really easy. I have a problem because I don't understand the street that's going to be first, second, third, fourth.
Okay.
I have a problem with, I heard that my street was going to be paved because I guess the city manager lives on there and Karen lives across the street. I don't put a roof on every 2 or 3 years. The street was made by A.J. Deanna in 65. There's no potholes. There is one, but they put tar in it, all the rest of them. But I don't understand why 16th wasn't on there, and I haven't heard it's on there, but everything's quiet. Just like you can't hear him. He whispers up here. There's some of us people who are old are here, and that's what this thing's for, so I can hear. That we taxpayers paid for that, so let's use that thing. But I don't understand why you're going to pave Brighton from 16th to Oak Park. When nobody can make a left turn on, I mean, uses school buses and trucks going to wherever. But as people live on it, they don't use it. They use 16th. Either way, but we don't. They don't use Oak Park because they can't turn left. So I don't know why you'd fix a roof that's only 2 or 3 years old when 16th is a travel street. Now that's something I don't do.
Great.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to come from a one-room school and Great Depression. I didn't graduate from college. I got common sense.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone else? Okay, let me close this to the public and come back to the council. Let's have some discussion. Who wants to start? You guys want to...
I was going to say, I'll start and say, go ahead.
Hold on a sec. Let's do this. And I know this is off topic, but I know Mr. Weisanger brought up a couple of questions. And so, Greg, did you want to respond before I responded, and then we'll get back on topic?
I'd be happy to, and I'll try to stand a little closer to the microphone here. First of all, you know, clearly the street selection had nothing to do with who lives on the street. If you recall, the process was fairly challenging, actually. We had to avoid streets where we had known utility work that is needed. We had to consider council and community's priorities and looking at a list of streets that were prioritized at a previous council meeting. And we had to consider the funding that was available. So putting all of those factors together into what resembled a matrix of decisions, that resulted in the list that you have before you for design. Why not 16th? It just, we can't do enough of 16th with the project this time, and there's significant waterline improvements in portions of 16th. So some of those very factors that play into account that I just mentioned eliminated some streets from the current project.
Very good. Thank you, Greg. And I think we also talked about North 16th Street being in the next batch of streets that would be coming up very soon because it's part of the next fiscal year. And so let's get back to what we're discussing here. Mayor Pro Tem Lee, you want to start this discussion?
Sure. I'm happy we're here. So it's taken a vote of the citizens to pass Measure K-14. We've done that. We've moved forward with a number of decision-making points along the way. We, with very little fanfare, awarded our first streets earlier this evening. So which in one of my questions later is going to be when those are going to start, but I'm sure someone will tell us that shortly. Realizing we have a program to move forward with the first round, Mr. Hollenbeck has a tasked list to do the next round, items to do on the next round. I'm ready to move staff's recommendation when we're ready.
Okay. Any other comments on this?
I'm surprised at how much designing streets cost, but we went through the process, and it is what it is.
Okay. So agreed. If someone, Barbara, have no, something?
Agreed.
Okay. So someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Then I will move that we adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into a consulting services agreement with Stantec for design phase services, bidding phase services, and post-design services during the construction phase associated with the 2015-2 street repair and rehab program, and authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city based on final review of the consulting services agreement by the city attorney, which I believe has already happened because I anticipate it's already happened.
That is true. This has been approved by the city attorney.
Okay. So there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second. Any other discussion? If not, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Donna. Let's take a 8-minute break. Let's reconvene at 8:15. I'm going to reconvene the Grover Beach City Council meeting of Monday, July 6, 2015, and I believe we concluded with item number 12. We had pulled items 6 and 9, so we are going to move to item number 6, which is a first amendment to the annual appropriation resolution for the fiscal 16-year budget. And I believe the staff report is going to be given by Mr. Buckingham or Ms. Chapman.
Actually, I think, did just Councilmember Shaw have a question? Or?
I just had I don't even know if it's a question or a comment, but I know I'm our Visit Slow representative, and one of the items on the budget was we budgeted $2,500 toward the Saver event, and I've been in endless communication with the Saver people as to what our options can be to use that $2,500. And they're actually quite limited. I keep asking why we can't get a booth as we have it in the past, mm-hmm. at least. And they keep saying, well, for $2,500, you can do an enhanced exhibitor booth, and then you can pay for lounge chairs and this and that. And I keep saying no, but so to be determined, legally, as I understand the process, we can approve the $2,500 now and we can revisit the issue. I was thinking of possibly having the Saver representative come to a meeting because, as with any business or show, they're pushing for more money, and I would like them to tell us why and kind of lay out options.
Okay.
I have a question towards that end. Do they have a, I don't know if it's called a rate card or a this is what you get for your contribution or how much of these costs?
I'm starting to think it's on a per. They have a one, but probably one for each group has a different one. And, you know, I've asked a lot of questions. I've gotten a lot of answers. But I know one thing we were all thought would actually bring revenue and people into the city would be a train and stay package. And with the train and stay package, for our $3,000, we would get the promotion and they would work with the trains. But Kathy and our staff would be coordinating details as far as, and then that could lead to more costs associated, you know, with then being more than the $3,000 level. So another item that we could do for exactly $2,500 would be sponsor a seminar at the main event. But my question to her was, well, what does that do for Grover? You know, so these are items that we kind of need to decide on if we want, but we can approve it as is and revisit that item.
Well, my sense is two things. That I mean, it was too bad they weren't here tonight. All the other organizations were here to make that pitch. So that's one part. The second part is I believe the way that we had said we're going to go forward with this is even though there's a line item that's in the staff report, we had said let's just increase the line item that's in the city manager's or that budget from 25 to 40,000. And so I think it would be good for you to have those reps come to us and make a pitch for what are our options and have that discussion. But I think tonight it's really making an amendment based on the direction that we had given staff prior. And so that's kind of where we are tonight. And even though we've pulled this, I know staff probably wasn't prepared to make a staff report on this, but maybe just a real quick summary would be good because when we pull these items, I know there's not necessarily folks in the audience, but anyone watching at home are probably going, what the heck are you guys talking about?
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. Yes, we were asked to bring back a budget amendment. The items included for organizational funding included Economic Vitality Corporation at $5,000, the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce for $5,000, Slow Score for $2,500, Savor the Central Coast for $2,500, the Housing Trust Fund for $5,000, Slow Nor Foundation for $5,000, the Homeless Services Oversight Coalition for $2,143, and the Five Cities Diversity Coalition for $500. We also added studies and recruitment. The first was a management review for a total of $40,000, a utility rate study for a total of $40,000, and city manager recruitment for a total of $30,000, and those three studies come to $110,000.
Okay, very good. Any additional questions or any additional comments?
So the and I did talk with Ms. Chapman earlier, and she is working on the updating the remainder of the document with regards to our minor typographical changes and updates and working on those items as well. So that her timing will be upcoming shortly from what I understand with that. But I think I go back to what you're saying that, we are increasing the line item to 40,000 for the city manager for that. And then so at this point, we've kind of earmarked that monies for Saver, but perhaps it would be beneficial for them to come back because, I mean, the city manager could at this point say, thank you, we're not going to fund you this year. Or if he, even though we've given him direction to do that, he can't go above that, I don't think, but he could go under that because it is under his effectively discretionary economic budget, but I think we've given direction for 2,500, and hopefully we can. Your comments before with regards to that, this is a good year to draw back the funding because it's really a learning growth curve for Saver this year again. I think are good ones.
Yeah, and I guess I was even thinking that in that 25, I'm not quite sure what that's earmarked. The original 25, if there was some flexibility in that, there may be an opportunity. That's part of that discussion. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking the hard line to say it was, you could actually tell them you saved them from zero. But don't do that. Anyway. But I think, you know, the one thing I do want to make sure that as we go forward, we know that these dollars are from general fund. And so that's why I think we had this discussion of trying to break them into two different groups. One was economic development and one was other organizations. And we had talked about trying to establish a max number because every year you're talking about being sustainable and utilizing our general fund, limited general fund dollars for capital projects and vital basic services. You know, we want to make sure that we strike the right balance on that. But I think tonight staff has accurately captured the direction that the council had given. And so if there's no more questions or discussion, let's see if someone's ready to make a motion on this item.
I was going to say I'd move staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second, and I think we're clear with the discussion with staff and slow. What is that?
Saver.
Saver. Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Donna. Motion carries. So let's move on to item number 9. This is the consent to one-time extension of time under Article 9, paragraph at the Lopez Water Supply Contracts, Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
And I will be, the reason I pulled this was because I will need to recuse myself because my my day job is funded through Lopez, that Zone 3 funding source. So I will be leaving the dais.
Very good. We will give you time. Mr. Ray.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Item 9 is basically a consent by letter form to the County Zone 3 Water Flood Control District, rather, to allow a one-time extension of time under which an agency can declare how and which amounts of what water it wants delivered from the Zone 3 project. As you're well aware, that Lopez Lake actually can deliver two sources of water. One is the lake water itself, and the other is water that comes from the state water pipeline. And so the agencies around us, some of them are state water contractors, and on or before the beginning of the water year, April of each year, agencies are required to tell the county, here's how much water of each of the kinds that I have available to me I want delivered and when. And basically, you can't go back months or years later and say, oh, well, what I really meant was I wanted this amount of water delivered. However, if all of the agencies who are subject to that contract with County Zone 3 agree to a one-time extension, the county can, in fact, make that available. So that's your background. Why would we want to consent to this? Well, in particular, this began with the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors realizing that they had an opportunity wherein they had taken delivery of state water. Where they had taken delivery of Lopez water and, in fact, had accumulated state water undelivered in Lopez, they realized it was an opportunity for them to, in fact, swap that. And now, because of the low reservoir response plan, Lopez water stored in Lopez becomes agency specific. You can actually carry over and bank your Lopez water. So it was a great opportunity for them. It's relatively neutral to the city of Grover Beach, with the exception that it does provide an opportunity for us. If under dire circumstances we found that we needed to purchase water from another agency, the water stored in Lopez would be Lopez water, with which we don't have to have any special contractual rights to purchase. And so we could theoretically purchase water from Pismo Beach or Oceano Community Services District, possibly even CSA 12, which is Avila, and supplement our existing water supply. So generally it's neutral. It has little or no effect on us. It's a one-time extension. I don't think we would approve this kind of water accounting again, but I have reviewed it and am recommending approval, and in fact recommending that the mayor sign the letter attached as attachment 2, which would authorize this one-time extension of time.
Great, thank you. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
None.
Boomer? Okay. So, Greg, you're confident that we are not setting a precedent, and this is just the way the process has been set up. It's a one-time extension.
I am confident, and I am especially appreciative of the way the county went about this, and basically every agency has to agree to this.
Okay.
Or they're not going to allow it to move forward, which gives me the confidence that if this request came up again, every agency would have to agree to it again, and you know, I suspect we might not unless there was really good reason to do so.
Has the city of Aurora Grande, since they're the agency most similar to us, they're not obviously a statewide contractor, have they taken any action on this yet?
They did. They took action and they approved it.
Okay, very good. Okay. I don't have any other questions. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this item before the council? Seeing no one coming forward, let me close it, and let me see how the council members feel about this. And legal counsel, maybe you can weigh in that there's three of us up here. Is it a simple majority, or does it need to be a unanimous?
In the context of a recusal, you have a quorum, essentially, majority.
It's not working. Is that better? There
right,
we go.
Right.
Okay, great. It's a majority of the quorum, so it'd be two of you.
Okay, very good. So if there's no additional discussion, would someone like to try a motion, make a motion on this item?
Go ahead. Okay, I'd like to make a motion that the City Council approve and authorize the mayor to sign the consent to one-time extension of time under Article 9, Paragraph C of the Lopez Water Supply Contract.
Very good motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Donna. So let's get the Mayor Pro Tem back in. We do not have, we just finished all of our pulled consent agenda items. How about some council committee reports?
Excuse me, yes. Item 13?
Oh, I'm sorry. 13. Thank you. So this is item 13, which is selection of a voting delegate and alternates for the 2015 League of California Cities Annual Conference. Did you want to make a few comments on
this? Brief staff report for the council. In order to conduct the annual business meeting held in conjunction with the League of California Cities Annual Conference, every represented city must have a city council designate a voting representative who will be registered at the conference and present at the annual and be present at the annual business meeting. Each member city may also appoint up to two alternatives, one of whom may vote in the event the designated voting delegate is unable to serve in that capacity. Staff is recommending that by motion the council select one delegate and up to two alternatives for the upcoming annual business meeting to be held at the League of California Cities Annual Conference.
Very good. So who's going to the annual conference?
Actually, it looks like all of us are.
Yeah. Are we all?
So I'd be supportive of Councilmember Shaw and Councilmember Nichols being the,
being the delegates?
Delegate and the delegates.
Why?
Well, pick what?
Well, then I'll start with Councilmember Shaw. And
why do I not feel very lucky about this? But
how about this? I'll be the delegate, and they can be the alternate.
That works.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds great.
Since it's your first time.
That works.
Boy, you are on a roll tonight.
I was the delegate last time. It was lots of fun, but
well, so they can still be the delegate. I mean, it gives me a day to convince one or the other. So,
exactly.
But
can't wait.
So we need a motion on this.
I'll make a motion that the mayor become the delegate, with Councilmember Shaw and Councilmember Nichols being the two alternates for the upcoming annual business meeting to be held at the League of California Cities annual conference.
Very good. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Wow. It can be a great opportunity to represent our community. All right. Let's move to council committee reports. Councilmember Shaw, you have anything?
Yeah, so I had my one visit San Luis Obispo County meeting, actually technically my last meeting, because I now, with the formation of the TMD, I officially had to resign from the board. So
thank you very much for playing.
So yes, so not that, you know, of course I'm heartbroken over those 8:30 a.m. meetings, but I guess my question to you all is what should my role be in this now? I asked them, and they said, if I come to meetings, I will now be an observer in the audience. I don't vote. I don't say anything. We have our TMD representative, Sam Miller, from the Holiday Inn, and on the actual board, on the TMD board, and then on the marketing committee, our closest to Grover Beach representative would be Judith Bean. She's on the marketing board. So I don't know. I wanted to get you guys to weigh in. Do you think it's still productive for me to go to the meetings as an observer, or should I maybe more touch base with Sam and Judith on a monthly basis to get updates from them? I don't know.
What would your preference be?
My preference would be to talk to Sam and Judith and not and stop these 8:30 meetings in Atascadero, but I'm here to serve the public. So
well, I think we are in agreement with you that if you are nothing more than an observer, that you probably should not feel compelled to attend, touch base with our reps, and then if you feel like there's an issue that warrants closer observation, then maybe you can attend or have them come and make a report to the council.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Everyone in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. That was all from the meeting and the Saver stuff, which we already kind of discussed. So.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols.
It seems that all of my boards are taking vacation in July and some even in August as well. I did have a CAPSLO meeting right after our last council meeting. The only startling news out of that is they were informed in Washington when they went back for their annual review, I guess, that Slo County is the fifth least affordable county in
wow.
the nation. And I thought that was pretty stunning.
I'd say only five?
Only five.
I think that's an
yeah.
improvement.
There will be no July meeting. Okay. RAC is closed July and August. I had the honor of sitting in for Mr. Scholes at the Five Cities Fire Association hearing on weed abatement procedures, and that went very smoothly. We were able to clear six people from the list, and that was the only other meeting of that. Oh,
great.
And it's in the South County Transit also canceled their July meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
last week.
So, Barbara, in light of the comments that were made here tonight about potential route changes, I'm just wondering, because I'm thinking even with SLOCOG, I had recently met with Mr. DeCarli. He gave me an update on state funding for infrastructure improvements, in particular street improvements and maintenance. So I was thinking about having him come and give us a report, and I'm wondering if it's something you might want to think about, inviting Mr. Straw to come down and kind of give us an update.
I think definitely that would be a good, very good idea.
So then we can talk. You talk to him. I'll talk to Mr. DeCarli maybe at our next meeting. We can report back on that.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Lee.
So no IWMA meeting in July this month. And then I did attend the Economic Vitality Corporation. It was a kind of a year-end summary. The budget was approved. Some new sponsors have come on, including MindBody, which recently had their IPO released and are doing very well on the market. There is an event that I won't be able to attend that you are actually all invited to in your mailboxes. You should be receiving an invite on Wednesday, July 22nd, for that. I don't recall where that is. But again, those invites should be coming through through the city clerk, I believe. So I think I'd sent an email to the city manager. So.
Yeah, it's at the Cliffs.
The Cliffs, perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Okay.
That's what I had.
Very good. So for me, Five Cities Fire Authority, thank you, Barbara, for sitting in on that meeting. I did just want to reiterate, on June 19th, the board did approve the fiscal 16-year budget, and that was with, I think, what consistent with the budget that we have adopted and subsequently had an amendment to. And then also, one of the things that the authority is going to be moving forward with is a 5-year strategic plan, and I think this can be more of a workshop, and as part of that is to crystallize goals and talk about strategies and objectives. And I believe also there's going to be, if not part of that, it'll probably spell out revisiting the joint powers agreement. As many of you may recall, when that was first put in place, I think the discussion at that time was, let's get something in place, let's get some collaboration going. And so it's been 5 years, and it is worth taking a look at. I believe the next meeting, which will be July the I wrote this down somewhere. Let me check real quick. Thank you. July 17th, I believe there's some discussion about having a 5-year anniversary celebration. So meetings at 10, I would imagine somewhere between 10:30 and noon. If you want to come by, there'll probably be a nice big cake or something. You'll have to ask the chief on that one. Let's see, the South County Senate.
Sounds like you've committed him to cake.
unless you guys want cookies or something. So South County Sanitation District continues to be a meeting that is well attended by, I'm going to say, anywhere from 10 to 15 people consistently. I think some meetings, things have improved. Some other meetings can be very contentious, but we continue to keep trying to make progress with this organization. On June 17th, the fiscal 16-year budget was, in fact, approved. Also on the 17th, the board approved the scope of work for the past management practices. So that is moving forward as we speak. On July 1st, the board authorized and approved hiring AGP Video to actually broadcast that meeting. And there were some folks who had suggested not to do that, but I think in the spirit of transparency and allowing other folks the opportunity to see what's going on with the district, this will provide them with that. The board also approved the 2014 audit, and there was a wastewater treatment plant equipment replacement program that is in place that we received a presentation on And when I get a copy of that, I will share with you all. It is actually done very well. It's not like what we have a CIP where we talk about projects and we do it in a 3 to 5 year time frame. They actually look out 10 and 20 years because it's really based on the life of the equipment that's at the plant. So I think it's a lot more obviously systematic in that sense. And then finally, well, no, not finally, we also approved an agreement to use a grant to look at recycled water at the plant. And so that's a grant that Aurora Grandy is going to pay 50% of, and then the district and its member agencies will pick up the rest of it, and it'll look at the feasibility of recycling water at the plant, and then what does that go? So stay tuned for that. So the most contentious item at the last meeting was billing. So right now, all three member agencies send the bill out to the customers, collect the payments, and then pass them on to the district. And each one is paid at a different rate. Aurora Grande actually sends it out. They take their whatever they're charging off the top, and then they send it in. And Grover and Oceano send invoices. There was a lot of contentious debate over an $11,000 invoice that was sent in by the Oceano Community Services District because there is no formal agreement in place. So, long story short, on a 2-3 vote, we decided we would pay the $11,000 invoice because it was for services rendered. Whether there was a formal contract or not, there was a general agreement because they had been paying that. But we are now looking at a more equitable way to assign those costs, and whether that is coming up with a number per meter or per customer, or and then if that is putting it on the county tax rolls, so we'll be looking at all options. And if this sort of takes that issue out of this very politically, emotionally charged situation that we've experienced over the last few meetings. So when AGP's recording these, you guys will all be able to follow along if you so choose. Now, I'm not saying you have to. I will make sure I give you very thorough reports, but I will tell you the representatives and the alternates from our two member agencies continue to both show up at the meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the alternate from Grover has to, because I will, like I said, give you all very thorough reports as we go forward. Nothing really new to report regarding the litigation with State Water Resources Control Board. You will probably read something in the paper because the mayor of Aurora Grandy, in his role as chair of the South Sand, made a statement in public that alleged that the attorneys had given us information that resulted in a couple of attempts to settle were not. And I'm trying to be very careful, but he said this in open session, so I want to make sure you all are not blindsided if this comes out in the paper. He implied that our attorneys had given us wrong information that we had used to formulate a couple of settlement offers in which the, whether it was legal counsel or staff, rejected. I can't tell you any more than that because we are having the attorneys come. We're going to have a conversation and make sure there have been not any violations from that statement that was made, and that we are still trying to do things in the best interest of this, of our community and the folks who pay the rates there. So I just want to make sure you're all fully informed if something does happen to come out in the newspaper and elsewhere. Yeah, it was quite an interesting. The plant continues to operate at a very good level. I know there was a small backup this past weekend because of the sheer numbers. I don't have a lot more details on that, and we'll bring you up to speed when I get that information. And then finally, the San Luis Obispo Council of Government. The meeting for July was canceled, but as I had said earlier when I was talking to you, Barbara, I have every intention of talking to Mr. DeCarli to ask him to come and give us an update. We've done that before, and I know there are some funding challenges with this organization, especially as it comes to funds for roadway improvements. As you all know, that the $1.7 or $8 million that we're utilizing, we'll be using for Oak Park, came through various sources, through SLOCOG. And so I think in the last year or two, from a state standpoint, they have pretty much $0 to program. So there are some unique challenges, and I think it's best for you to hear that from him directly. Mm-hmm. Okay? Any council communications?
I guess I just wanted to go back to a couple things people said in public comment, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Mr. Weissong brought up that he was getting these red and pink water notices, and I know we specifically said in our water meeting, because he gave us a copy of his bill, and I think his usage is down at 11 or 12. I think we specifically decided in that water meeting that we would not even really be bothering with people with that low of usage. So I don't know if it's a computer glitch or something as to why he keeps getting these red letters. But I also commented in that meeting, I specifically, especially if someone's a senior citizen, I think we need to really take that into account, because I know even if it's just getting that red letter, my parents are senior citizens. If they open a red letter, it would ruin my dad's whole week, and I would not hear the end of it. And so I don't know what can be done about that.
Well, I would say maybe staff can report back to us on that, because if he does have such low water usage, let's find out why he is, in fact, getting this notice. I think the other thing is I was looking at the minutes from that meeting, and while there was a lot of discussion, I don't know if we had given very clear direction on what adjustments we want to make. I know that staff did a really good job of giving us a bunch of alternatives, so we may have to figure out, do we do that now, or do we try and wait until this rate study is done? I think sooner than later is probably something we'll want to have a conversation about.
Yeah, especially the low users. So.
Yeah, low users. I know that you talked about the seniors, and then there are other things that we had talked about, but it appears from the minutes we didn't give definitive direction, and I think we need to come back and do that.
And the other question or comment I had was from Mr. Lehman's, Ken Lehman's comment about people coming in and using the state water tap. And I think we've confirmed this at other meetings. That does, in fact, come from Grover Beach Water. Is that correct? No.
Staff, did you have any information on that?
Yeah. Greg, can you confirm what the well is used for versus potable water?
Yes, there is an ag well, or agricultural well, that supplies water to the golf course, but potable water on site does come from the city of Grover Beach.
Okay, thank you. Because he made a very good point that people are taking a large number of gallons, and maybe there should be some sort of shutoff that you can only take so many gallons. I don't know.
You have a question?
My question was just, so the sewer lift station, or the dump station, rather, is potable water?
There's potable water. There may be a non-potable water tap there, but the potable water, there's a potable water filling station there also. There's non-potable water used to flush out gray water tanks and to spray off the site for cleanliness, but there is a potable water filling station there.
Was not aware of that. Okay.
So I thought you were going to go this direction. Is it metered?
Yes, it is.
And does the state pay fees?
Yes, and the state would, in fact, pay fines, believe it or not, if they didn't meet our water reduction requirements. So they would be under the same penalty as anyone else.
All about asking the right question. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think we'll have to just make sure that that information gets out to the public, because obviously folks are watching these comments that are being made. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Greg.
And I guess my only other comment from public comment was in regard to the Phillips 66 issue. I know I had said in the past that I wanted to hold off on addressing this until the final EIR came out, and I would like to reverse myself.
Well,
not reverse myself, but say that if, you know, the rest of the council is of a mind to move toward agendizing this, I would be okay with working with the draft EIR. So I don't know if we want to talk about agendizing it, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I know I was reading it, and I'll let you all chime in. In reading through the minutes, we had talked about it coming forward at a future meeting, but we've also talked about being very diligent and methodical about how we look at this.
Right.
I will just say, and I'm sure this will be on TV, and so this may get back to Mayor Marks, you know, that I will say that I'm very proud of this council for not jumping on emotional issues. We've had folks here from both sides to present their side of the equation. We are doing our due diligence and getting information, and I think you're always going to get people who are going to come in and try and press hot buttons, and I think the fact of the matter is we may at some point decide, yes, we want to weigh in. Obviously, we don't have the authority to stop it, but certainly we could have some. So we'll do that. I think we just need to, I'm in my opinion, and let's continue on the course that we're on, and because the board, the Planning Commission is not making a decision tomorrow or next week, and that's just kind of my view. So I don't know where you all are on this.
Well said.
So
okay. I didn't want you guys waiting because of what I said. If it's
have you not? Yeah.
Go with the flow.
You know, it's like, I think any one of us, right? We're all one voice, but we need to make sure we have a consensus.
Right.
So I think we were all in agreement, but we have a process, and I think that there are several speakers who would love for us to come out and make a stance now, but they're being respectful of the process, and I think that's all we can ask is that for people to be respectful of the process, we provide those opportunities, and we'll continue to do that.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Barbara, do you have anything?
The only other thing I brought up with Bruce today was getting an update on where we are in amending our ordinances to allow the No Limits Poker gambling entity. I don't want that to just slide by and be ignored.
Yeah. And I think that was one where I think the council did say we would like to have that ordinance match state law.
Right.
I believe the legal counsel had suggested that the person who initiated would, I guess, basically pay the fee or whatever it is to process that. I don't know if there's been any follow-up with him or if anyone has identified what, in fact, that the deposit would be. Do we know, Bruce?
No. Our city attorney, Kazanowicz, who's been out for the last couple weeks, we'll get an update from him and pass it along to the council.
Okay. Very good, because I think that would be good to get that information and then someone can reach out to. I think it was Mr. Stern who had initiated
right.
that.
Correct.
Great. Thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jeff?
So my item was a determination of where the Citizens Oversight Committee for the Measure K-14, where that stands in the process. So, and I did speak with Ms. Chapman earlier today, and I know it's moving forward, but I wasn't sure if Bruce or Mr. Hale had any updates.
I think the update is the city clerk is working on getting the website developed. So then we can go out and advertise. We're also waiting for the council minutes to be approved tonight that clarify the streets that will be part of that as well. So the process is moving along. I don't believe we have to have the requirement is to have somebody or the committee established by January 1st after the annual report. Okay. Staff is working on getting ready to get the applications out so we can form the committee.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. I do have a couple of things. Oak Park. Oak Park continues to be the subject of much debate, if not in the council chambers, at the grocery market, at the gym. So I know we're moving forward, and there was I think Mr. Hollenbeck had put together a schedule. I'm just kind of curious, and maybe staff can come back on, is there an opportunity for us to have a quick discussion regarding design, not necessarily design of Oak Park itself, but the section at the intersection of Grand and Oak Park, with respect to the trees that are there, and then also the segment from Oak Park East on Grand Avenue where it meets the Rio Grande city limit line. So I wasn't sure if we had was able to give any direction and if there might be an opportunity to do that before we get too far down the road on that project. Hopefully that's something that's agreeable to the rest of the council, that staff can maybe give us an update at the next meeting and we can figure out something. And I think the same thing goes with Newport and Long Branch. And even though I know they were identified on the list of streets for fiscal year 16, we do probably need to have some discussion, especially since with Long Branch, I know there was a, as Greg had pointed out, a concept plan that was put together, I think, by the Wallace Group. And so we got to figure out what the process is to take a look at those two so we can give some guidance or some direction on those. And I think the only other thing I will say is on Saturday, I know there's a rally in San Francisco, but on Saturday I will be doing the walk and roll, starting at, I believe, 9:30 at Ramona Garden Park and walking to the businesses on Grand Avenue if anyone wants to join. So that's all I've got. And if anyone else has anything else, we'll move on.
So that was 9:30 at Ramona?
Yeah. Okay. City manager, to report your comments.
Yes, the staff's looking for input on whether the July 9th joint meeting between the council and the Parks and Rec and Beautification Committee is moving forward or will be postponed.
Not going to let that one go, huh? I think we are scheduled to do it right now, correct?
Yes, you are, but agendas and everything, we need to go out ASAP. Council Member Bright okay. will obviously not be here, and your Parks and Rec and Beautification Committee is currently down one person. That interview process is going to be taking place in the near future, July 13th. There's actually
okay.
two positions open.
So my only request, at least my only comment on that, because obviously we have to decide as a group, is if we reschedule this, it would have to be done either prior to August 9th or we push it into September, because I will be out on medical leave from August 10th through August 24th or 31st. So, but it's something that's important. We really need to have this. So what does everyone else think?
I definitely agree. We need to have it. Unfortunately, I'm unavailable from the 22nd of July to the 10th of August. So which then starts with the time period that you're unavailable.
So, nice.
So if that pushes us into September.
And what day are you going again, Jeff? 10th.
I'm gone from unavailable from the 22nd of July through the. I'm back on the 10th of August.
Okay. Yes, Bruce.
Just that the staff recommendation would be postponing it to a later date would allow the interview committee to make a recommendation, come to the council for approval, and maybe that person actually be able to attend a Parks and Rec committee meeting and then go to a workshop, which might make them better prepared.
Okay. Mary?
Unfortunately, my vacation is over, so I will be here. but I would agree that, you know, if we're having it to be down two committee members, then they're not going to have the benefit of giving any input. I don't know. And down at least one council member, I don't know, not to mention our city manager. Mm-hmm. I don't know how productive it will
okay.
be. I don't know if September would be terrible.
Well, Barbara?
I think it's doable to put off at a
Okay.
I prefer not, but things being the way they are.
And do we have any idea when these interviews may happen? And here's my concern is, yeah, I think that we didn't give you enough time this week. I understand that. I have a concern if we keep pushing this off, because we need to be having conversations with whether it's Park and Recs or whether it's Planning Commission to make sure everybody understands roles and responsibilities. And I'm just going to say it, and the way in which this playground equipment was discussed and came about, I was really surprised when constituents called me and said, "Are you going to the meeting?" And I said, "What meeting?" I don't think it's ever really good for the council to be surprised when things like that happen. So we really need to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So that said, maybe this Thursday is not the date, but we need to do something sooner rather than later is my feeling. So if you're leaving on the 22nd, and if we can't make it happen, then it needs to be before we all leave for the League of California Cities, which is the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
We're in agreement?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. City Attorney, any report or comments?
Nothing at this time.
Very good. And so while you have the mic, is he still not talking in the mic?
Not at this time.
There you go. Can you cover our closed session items for tonight?
Sure, Council. We have five items that will be going into closed session for. Item number one is public employee performance evaluation. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, the employee is the city manager. Number two is a conference with labor negotiators. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, all employee groups. Item number three, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. Based on existing facts and circumstances, there is a significant exposure to litigation against a local agency. This is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2, one potential case. Item number four is conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. And item number five, conference with real property negotiators, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. Property is located APN 060-381-010-011.
Great. Thank you, legal counsel. And with that, we will recess into closed session.